Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Let's talk about the promise Jesus gives us in John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29, and also the condition, which is oftentimes in the modern church intentionally left out. The passage is John 10. In specific, it's John 10, 27 through 29. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." Notice he's speaking of his sheep. He says they're my sheep, and they do what? How do we know they're his sheep? They hear his voice, and he says, "I know them, and they follow me." Now, we could talk about this verse for a long time. Though it be short, it is absolutely loaded with divine revelation. Notice, "I know them." Many times we say, and we hear said, that "I know the Lord." Well, that's true. We must know him, but first and foremost, on his stated terms, as are on record in his word, we should make sure that he is saying to us that "I know him, I know her." It's more important that God knows us as his sheep than it is to say subjectively that "I am one of his." They're both important, and if you are one of his, you know that. And yet there are many who are going to say unto him on that day, "Lord, Lord," they called him Lord, but he's going to tell them to depart from him because he never knew them. And these are the very people, many of them alive today on the earth, who claim and swear that they know Jesus. And yet the fruit of their lives does not testify to an authentic relationship with Christ. And I never knew you. Matthew chapter 7. So from that, we see that there are those who claim to know the Lord and will claim it all the way till the judgment day. But he said, "I never knew you. Depart from me," right? "And ye that work iniquity, are you lawless?" That's what the workers of iniquity are defined as, those who live unto themselves. You know, there's so many people, false professors today, who claim to be Jesus's child, and yet they live on their own terms. They're self-willed. They do their own thing. They don't have the "not my will, but thine be done" constitution. Perhaps they've never been born again. They're both. There's liberty to understand that both ways. Those that have been born again and have fallen away, and those who have never known him, that would go with the and be according to the four different types of soil the Word of God falls upon. Luke chapter 8, verse 11 through 15. There are those who never get saved. That's the first soil. The second soil are those who get saved and then fall away. That's what Jesus taught. We have to acknowledge the whole counsel of God's Word. And this passage we're looking at right now is a textbook example of how, as we talk, you're going to see it, and many of you already know it and will understand that there are so many who take this out of the context, the immediate context, and out of the whole biblical context on this topic. Jesus is going to give them a promise. The next words, verse 28, our passage is John 10, 27 through 29. And we read in verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You see, it's a two-way relationship. It's an engagement between two parties. Jesus said those that are going to be with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Revelation Revelation chapter 17, verse 14 says exactly and verbatim, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." See, so many today teach it's all of God. It's a Calvinistic heretical system that has indoctrinated them to believe that salvation is only God's action in the life of one of his chosen and those he is called, but they leave out conveniently foreknowledge, the foreknowledge of God, and not to get into that, but notice here, called, chosen, and faithful. Those that are going to be with Jesus are not only called of God, now that has to come first because he initiates the relationship, and he provided for the relationship through the propitiatory sacrifice of the very blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And they are chosen, and they are faithful. Notice, they're faithful. They return the love in worship back to the one who called and chose them. It's ludicrous to think that there's a relationship between a man and a woman where one of the two parties is not even engaged in loving and knowing the other party. That's absolutely ludicrous. So why would we think that God is going to promise eternal life and bring into his eternal home and family anybody who's not faithful to him? Anyone who does not want to be with him, anyone that does not love him, well, he's just not going to do it. And anyone who believes that does not have the biblical picture of God. In fact, in the same book, Revelation 21:8, for example, we read about all the different classes of sinners that God is going to eliminate from his eternal kingdom. They will not be with him. Now, let me ask you something, gentlemen. Is anybody, I mean, just anybody, welcome in your home? I sure hope not. You've got a wife and children, many of you. Why would you, as a mere man, bring somebody into your home like another man that is a dangerous man, somebody you don't know, to be faithful to what is right? Remember, those that are going to be with Jesus are called, chosen, and faithful. Revelation 17, 14. That's a clincher right there. God calls you and chooses you, and you are faithful to him. In other words, you have a relationship with him. You hear his voice, and you follow him. That's what we just read in our main text, which we're getting ready to get back to. And today's text is John 10, 27 through 29. And let me say this, my friend, your life is never going to be the same when you get this further revelation of what we're looking at today in John chapter 10, with Jesus as the great shepherd and his sheep being those who hear his voice and follow him. He defines who they are, just like we see defined again in Revelation 17, 14, where those that are going to be with Jesus and coming with him to destroy the armies of the Antichrist, however that's going to work out. But we do see that they are called, chosen, and they are faithful. You're not going to let just anybody into your home. God's not going to let everybody who claims to know him, because he knows better. He knows the hearts of all men. He knows if they're faithful or not. There's no doubt he chose everyone to be saved, because he's not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Also, his desire is to have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. Through the one and only mediator, Jesus Christ. But God has conditions for his blessings. And if those conditions are not met, the individual who chose not to meet them on God's stated terms is eliminating himself from God's eternal family. He's going to be one of the what? Here it is, Revelation 21:8. But the fearful, those who are cowardly and timid, those who can't make up their mind, those who won't put their feet down and plant them deeply and standing on both feet like a man, declaring that though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I am going to follow Jesus, though none go with me. Paul said at one point that all men forsook me, but the Lord stood with me. 2 Timothy 4, I believe it's 16 through 18. Romans 1:16, the apostle said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Notice who's going to be eliminated from Jesus' eternal kingdom. Isn't it amazing to me and you, if you have a sane mind, if you have some semblance of sanity in your mind, that some believe that Jesus does not have the right to eliminate people from his kingdom who were once part of his kingdom? If that was the case, why was Lucifer, who God created with instruments, instruments built into his being, obviously to help lead the worship of God in heaven. If God doesn't remove people from his kingdom, why was Lucifer ejected from heaven when sin was found, iniquity was found in him? Ezekiel chapter 28, 12 through 19. Why was Adam and Eve, who were in perfect standing with God, why were they ejected from his presence when they sinned against him? Because God is holy, holy, holy. He has not changed. The wages of sin is still death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. It doesn't matter how much of a pet you think God's little pet disciple, convincing yourself and your own delusional mind that you're eternally secure. If you got sin in your life, you're going straight to hell when you die. You have to repent and confess it for the sin that it is before a holy God. In fact, he says it's only if we confess our sins that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And notice in verse 7, if notice the condition, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sins. So you must, after being saved, you must walk in the light as he is in the light. That means you confess all your sins. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to read Revelation 21, verse 8. This is just one of the places where God gives us several classes of sinners that will be ejected. They will be disallowed to be in God's eternal home, just like a good man will not allow anybody dangerous into his home to hurt his family. God is the great heavenly Father, and he gave his only begotten Son so that only those who choose to be his are called, chosen, and faithful. He called them, he chose them, but they're also faithful. People that are conducting their lives according to his will, as is stated in his word, they're going to be the ones in glory, not those who live self-willed lives, lives of lawlessness. They are workers of iniquity, Matthew 7:23. That's why he's going to say, I never knew you. That's why he's going to reject them. These are the very ones spoken about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where it says they are lovers of their own selves. So they are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They have a mere form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. In other words, they deny Christ the authority to reign in their personal lives on earth. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice Revelation 21:8. Here's several classes of sinners that are going to be ejected. They're going to be disallowed. The door of heaven is shut in their face. It's going to be the fearful. Doesn't matter what they profess. God sees the hearts of all men and the faithfulness or lack thereof. Notice, but the fearful. That's the timid, the cowardly. Those who can't make up their mind, those who won't make up their mind to truly serve the Lord. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, and sorcerers and idolaters, those who love themselves more than Jesus, they don't have him as their first love. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's what God said there in Revelation 21:8. Those classes of sinners, even is so loving and merciful that we can read that and see and identify any sin that's in our life. And that would identify something of a root. The root determines a fruit. The sin would only be in our personal lives
because we're not truly rooted in Christ.
And we are in need of repentance and a vital union and abiding relationship with Christ Jesus to simply stop our lives and return to the Lord.
John chapter 15. So Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See, so he defines who his sheep are. They're those who choose to be close to him, to be intimate in a relationship with him. They hear his voice. They follow him.
Are you hearing the voice of Jesus by way of his spirit and his word?
Are you following Jesus, or are you doing your own thing? Are you saying, Lord, not my will, but thine be done, O God? I want to walk with you, Lord. I want to be about my Father's business, Lord. You must increase, but I must decrease, Lord. Help me to love you more, Jesus.
Just
minister to a group in Florida as we do weekly. And this week we prayed together. At the end of the message, we prayed that God would help us to love him more. Amen. Jesus commanded that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love our neighbors ourselves. First and foremost, nothing else is going to work. We're not going to be in his kingdom if we're not loving the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. parent. It's really all about the love. Do you love him? Or do you just have a form of godliness? Are you just going through religious exercises in a rote, R-O-T-E, a mechanical fashion? Or do you have a heart after God, like David, Acts 13:22? This is a man that has a heart after God. That's what God said as a testimony of David. This should give us great hope, because we know David, who was the greatest king in Israel and was a type of Christ, also had a period of sin and rebellion in his life. I would imagine each of us have had those times in our lives, but thank God for the throne of grace, where we can come boldly, confidently before the throne of grace and obtain mercy for our sins and grace to help in time of need. In other words, God forgives you by his mercy through the blood of a lamb, Jesus. Then he gives you the grace, the divine enablement, the divine influence on your heart to change you from the inside out, beloved, so that you're walking in a steadfast continuum and momentum of holiness, being set apart unto the Lord, having daily dying downward and God raising you up into that holiness in the resurrection life that we're all experiencing who are truly walking with Jesus, who said, in order to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. And when you're denying yourself, you're not embellishing and feeding and celebrating yourself. You're dying to yourself. You're dead and buried, and God's raising you up to please him. That's the only way the Christian life works. And I would point you to two or three of the books we have on the store page on safeguardyoursoul.com, and that would be 31 cross prayers, one for each morning of the month, to pray the biblical truth of the cross into your life every day. That is going to change your life. That is a real thin book. It's only like 30-something pages. It's only 31 pages, to be exact. Okay, another one's called I Die Daily. It's all about the cross. Incredible. It's changed many lives. It's changing lives today as we learn the biblical, original gospel cross of Christ, which has been completely left out of the modern church. Also, another one called Raised Up, and it's talking about what we just talked about the resurrection power and life and grace of Jesus Christ raising you up out of that death and burial posture every day into the victory that God has ordained you to walk in. And they shall notice the promise, John 10:28. In our passage today, John 10:27-29, we read how Jesus, the sheep, hear his voice. They know him, they follow him. And he says, I give unto them. Who's them? Those that are hearing his voice and following him presently, not in the past, but now. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Why? Because they're staying close to Jesus, the great shepherd. They're hearing his voice and they're following him. You got to read this in its immediate context, friend, and in the context of the whole of Scripture. Then he says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, who is it that's not going to be plucked out of the Father's hand? In the context, well, it's those that are hearing his voice and following him. If you have a sheep, and that's the illustration, the parabolic illustration that Jesus is using here throughout John 10. If you have a sheep who wanders away from the shepherd, he is going to get devoured by the wolves, by the lions. Why? Because he's not hearing the voice of the shepherd and following the shepherd's instructions to guide the flock, the remnant, his children, away from the evil, the sin, and the things that will cause you to slip, to trip, and to fall away.
Don't you just love Psalm 17:4?
By the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer.
So in other words, by following the voice, the word of the great shepherd, the psalmist was kept from being destroyed by listening to and navigating this life according to the shepherd's voice. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
If you are a sheep who is not under the command of the voice of the Son of God, the great shepherd of the sheep, Hebrews 13:20, you're not following him, you don't have this promise because you're not meeting the condition. You've chosen to do things your own way. You are a worker of iniquity, as Jesus called it in Matthew 7:23.
And there are no shortcuts. Going to church does not replace denying yourself, taking up your cross daily, and following Jesus, being directed by the voice of his word and led by his spirit.
So he knows his sheep by two things, according to this passage, by those who hear his voice and those who follow him.
It is
just that simple. It is to them exclusively that he gives this promise of being kept by the Father and not being plucked out of his hand. can. All others who do not follow Jesus truly on his stated terms, which is the daily crucified life, Luke 9:23-24, they prove that they're not interested in knowing him. They don't want a relationship with him. They're not hearing his voice and following him. They don't want that intimacy with him. And he's going to give them their wish for all eternity when he says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:40-41. Lucifer, who is Satan, chose to do things his own way and was rejected from God. And everybody doing things their own way and not the way of the Lord is a follower of Satan. They're a child of the father of lies, of the one who was a murderer from the beginning, John 8:44. And they're doing their own thing. They're not hearing the voice of Jesus and staying close to that, to the great shepherd of the sheep. They're not following him. They're doing their own thing. And they're going to be ejected just like Adam and Eve were, out of the presence of God, just like Satan was in eternity past out of heaven. He was hurled or ejected violently from eternal glory, from him who is holy, holy, holy. Jesus said that, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven, Luke 10:18. So Jesus told us that he created and saved us to know him, John 17:3. You know, if somebody asked me, Brother Todd, what do you think the most important verse in the Bible is? Well, I would say this, John 3:16, if you're not saved, right? And John 17:3, if you are saved, to realize that Jesus saved you to know him and the Father. Jesus went praying to the Father, John 17:3. I want you to memorize this scripture, beloved. Highlight it in your Bible and share it with others today, please. John 17:3, Jesus said, this is life eternal. This is the whole reason for eternal life, in other words, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's why God sent his only begotten Son, to die for our sins, is to wash away our sins and bring us into an intimate relationship with him and the Father. 1 John 1:3, he says, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. That's 1 John 1:3. We see this throughout Scripture. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Jeremiah 17:12. It's all about God's plan, which always has been,
from Adam and Eve and
from the days of Israel to now. He called Abraham his friend, or said that Abraham was a friend of God. He said to Israel in Exodus 25:9, he told them the whole reason for the tabernacle, and it was this. Exodus 25:9, according to all that I show thee. In other words, Moses, do things exactly the way I show you. Do things exactly, not your way, but exactly how I direct you to do them. Hear my voice and follow my instruction. Sound familiar with today's passage? Sounds exactly like John 10:27 in our passage, our text for today. Notice, according, he tells Moses, to all. I want you to make this sanctuary, verse 8, and let them make me a sanctuary, a place where we can meet and dwell together, that I may dwell among them. That's exactly why he created mankind, to have fellowship with mankind. And it's sin that breaks that fellowship, as was the case with Adam and Eve. And let me interrupt this to say, the fact that Jesus came to the earth and has shed his blood and completed the work of redemption in no way gives you a license for sin. And it does not mean that God's going to arbitrarily just cover your sin while you're living in it.
God's definition of sin did not change because he sent his only begotten Son.
1 John 1:7, if, that's a condition, if we walk in the light as he, Christ, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, between him and you, and the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. It's only as you choose to walk in the light of truth with Christ, hearing his voice and following him, that his blood is continually cleansing you. Otherwise, you are not a part of his kingdom. It's only if we confess our sins, verse 9, 1 John 1, it's only if we confess our sins that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will not coexist with somebody who chooses to live in sin. No different than when in eternity past he ejected Lucifer from glory, from his presence, because of sin, Ezekiel 28. The Adam and Eve, who were in perfect standing with God, there was no sin in the earth, and yet they chose to side with Satan and sin against God by believing that they could live, still have relationship with him after they sin. It's the first time we see the root instance of once saved, always saved.
And eternal security was taught by Satan
in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 2:17-3:4. God said, you're going to surely die if you sin against me. Satan said, you shall not surely die. God. In other words, you're once saved, always saved. You're eternally secure. You can still sin and you're still in the kingdom of God. That is a lie from hell, if there's ever been one. That is a doctrine of devils, and it's being peddled today by those whom God calls ungodly men, who are turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, or a license for sin.
Jude verse 4.
They're not teaching that God is holy, holy, holy. Revelation 4:8, Isaiah 6 verse 3. They're not teaching you, be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1:15-16, book of Leviticus, etc. They're selling you down the river. They want you to be their little local church business patron. Okay, they want to patronize you. They want you patronizing them. They're not going to tell you to get in the word for yourself. They're not going to call you to repentance. They're not going to tell you that Jesus requires that you repent, that you confess all sin, that you never cover sin, but you confess it. Proverbs 28:13. They're never going to tell you that Jesus requires that you live the crucified life, that you deny yourself, that you take up your cross daily, every day, not just on Sunday. That's pretend stuff there. And you follow him. They're not going to tell you that. Okay. They're not going to talk to you in terms, biblical terms, because they're patronizing you. They're making merchandise of you. They're flattering your flesh instead of calling you to repentance and to walk holy with Jesus, and that you don't need to sin. It's always a choice. And that you can live a crucified life where you're dead and buried, and Jesus is raising you up in his victory by his power. Amen. So again, man was created to have fellowship with God, not to be religious, but to have a relationship. Your life with Christ is nothing about religion or being religious. It's everything about a relationship between you and him. But that's only going to happen as you do things his way, as you hear his voice. You hear his voice every day by studying his word. And let me say this, while I'm at it, if you're not in the word every day, you have already
backslidden.
The word of God is only going to get into those who get into it. If you're not in the word every day, Jesus is nothing more than a hobby to you. He's anything but the first love of your life. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Therefore, you must repent. Read it. Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5. So our life with Christ, the whole reason why the Father sent his only begotten Son to die for us on that cross, to be buried and raised again from the dead, the just dying for the unjust, is so that we could have a relationship with him. If we ever lose sight of that, the Bible becomes merely a book of do's and don'ts, and you make just another dead religion out of that. Jesus wants us close to him at all times. That's what he's speaking of when he speaks to those who hear his voice and follow him. They're close to him. They're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, Psalm 91:1, which says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow or the protection of the Almighty. That's exactly what God's teaching right here. That's exactly what Jesus is teaching. He's saying that my sheep are close to me. They are under my shadow. That's why they hear my voice, and they love me, so they follow me, and they are protected. They will never be plucked out of my hand. That is, as long as they meet the condition of staying close to him. Those who stay in close, intimate fellowship, vital union, abiding, continuing with Christ, are given the promise of verse 28 and 29 of our text today. So picture with me for a moment. You have, let's say you had three children, and you are under a tree in a chair, and there's a grass field where two of your children are running around just having a blast, and one of them is in your lap clinging to you, mommy or daddy. And which one of the three children is the safest? Well, it would be the one that's closest to you, right? I mean, God forbid, we don't know when some animal is going to come out of nowhere and grab the other children. You know, I said God forbid, that's an ugly picture, but it paints the point. It gives the self-evident reality that we must stay close to Jesus. How are we going to hear his voice and follow him? How are we going to hear his voice to follow him if we're running around doing our own thing? Well, we simply are not. We must meet the condition of hearing his voice and following him. And that, my friends, is a delight to everyone who is choosing to love the Lord above all else, and most of all, love him and prefer him before ourselves. Jesus specifically identifies his sheep as those who hear his voice and follow him. They worshipfully obey him. They love him truly with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They say with David, the man after God's own heart, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Psalm chapter 57, verse 7. Let us pray, saints. Heavenly Father, we ask you right now, as we come before you in the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, to unite our our hearts to fear thy name, to quicken us with your holy fear, O God, and bless us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, we pray that every idol will be slain out of our hearts, cut down at the root, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.